Grace and peace to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, like an old radio broadcast serial, our stories of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus come one right after another in the gospel readings these last couple of Sundays. You can almost hear the radio announcer saying, "When last we saw our disciples," and they're still locked in the confines of that room, afraid of whatever might happen to them following the demise of their teacher, Jesus. And in fact, the disciples are turning the story into a bit of a soap opera for themselves. The emotions of fear and doubt and certainly sadness and even maybe anger are all part of their lives as they hold up behind locked doors. Now, last week, I was a little bit hard on Jesus. I criticized Jesus a bit for not being patient with Thomas, who was away when Jesus first appeared. I said, Jesus probably should have waited for Thomas to return, or at least not wait a whole week before making another appearance. But really, the disciples are the ones slow to action. As they insist on staying hidden away, they reveal their lack of faith in Jesus as they refuse to venture out into their world, out of their hiding places, and put their trust in Jesus, who himself refused to stay in a tomb locked behind a stone door. So it's encouraging today to hear that they finally got themselves back out into the real world. In fact, they're no longer in Jerusalem. John calls the place the Sea of Tiberias, but you know it better as the Sea of Galilee. The disciples have gone home, back to their nets, back to the lives they had before they even met this Jesus of Nazareth. It's hard to blame Peter and his friends. Any of us probably would have done the same, probably. Home is a safe place, a comfortable place, a place where you can get back to normal. Only it's not where Jesus wants them to be. Oh, he probably doesn't mind the location necessarily, but it's the perspective, the attitude, the frame of mind that Jesus wants to address. And as usual, Jesus knows the frame of mind that Peter is in. You see, even though Peter and the others have left the room where they were hiding, they haven't let their minds and their hearts out from that protective bubble of fear and sorrow. You can almost feel the discouragement in Peter's words, "I'm going fishing." I don't think Peter is happy with where he is in this situation. Even though he's seen the empty tomb, even though he's seen Jesus himself standing there twice. Thomas even touched Jesus. And Jesus breathed on them and gave them his peace. How hard it is to let peace infiltrate grief and fear. How hard it is to emerge from those times and places in our lives when we've been beaten down and demoralized. We thought everything was going great, life was good, but then sickness or a debilitating accident or a breakup, or losing a job, or the death of a loved one. In the movie Forrest Gump, it's Lieutenant Dan whose life is interrupted. He thought he'd become a war hero in the jungles of Vietnam, but instead he loses his legs and is forced to navigate life as one he'd more likely despise than hail. and it takes years. But also the undying love of his friend, Forrest, for Lieutenant Dan to learn to walk again. Two things are going on in this story of Peter and Jesus and the other disciples. One, Peter is locked in his grief because life with Jesus didn't turn out the way he thought it should. And two, Jesus is holding out the expectation that Peter and the others recognize how much their lives have changed because of Jesus, and how it is their turn now to seize that change and live into the truth of what they have become. Jesus appears to them on the shores of the lake, and he calls out to them, "Have you caught any fish?" "No," they reply. You see, their empty nets are a symbol of their empty hearts and lives. But Jesus calls out to them again, "Cast your nets on the other side of the boat." And in that word of hope, as they heed once more the call of their master, their nets are filled with the sustenance of life and the assurance that their work is not done, that Jesus is not dead, and that Jesus still has life for them to share with others. Once again, we're reminded that the resurrection is not some sort of insurance for a life that is to come after we die, but that life in the resurrection happens here, now. And what's more, Jesus won't let us simply fall back into the lives we once lived, but causes us to change our routines, change our old patterns, give up the ways of life that come up empty, and instead cast our nets out the other side of the boat. There are fish there in those waters waiting to be caught. Take a look at the story of Saul's conversion to hear what kind of change Jesus demands when he shows up. To all rights, Saul is eagerly seeking the preservation and security of his faith. He's actively hunting down those he thinks wish to destroy it. Only Jesus shows up in Saul's life in an undeniable act of transformation. Stricken blind on the road to Damascus, Saul experiences his own sort of death and spends 3 days himself in a sort of tomb of darkness. And then, when his eyes are opened, it's revealed to Saul the kind of life that only God can give. Paul does not stay locked in darkness. He doesn't go back to his old ways. Rather, Paul enters into a new light and a new life that takes the message of the resurrection into the whole world. People of God, we too are those who have seen the risen Christ. Perhaps we're like Peter, slow to really know what this means for our lives. Or like Thomas, at first not knowing how or what to trust. Or maybe we're like Paul, who gets hit in the face with the light of Jesus, but who eventually shines that light brighter than ever. However we have been met by this Jesus, Jesus is telling us that we must not go back to our old ways of living, that we must begin to fish out of the other side of the boat. If this COVID pandemic has taught us anything, it's that whatever normal was before our own time of being locked away, that normal has been left on the other side of the grave. And maybe that's one of the only ways that we can honor the lives of almost 1 million souls in the U.S. alone. To know that they have not died in vain, but to give us the knowledge of how sacred life really is. For if we can be transformed by this present death and emerge into a resurrection that gives life through more responsible health care or deeper connections to community or greater respect for the jobs of teachers and nurses and truck drivers, then we will find ourselves fishing out of the other side of the boat, our nets of compassion and love filled with the sustenance of life. Jesus is calling us to cast our nets in new directions, toward the places where people are waiting to hear the word of hope. Might we cast our nets to the homeless of our neighborhood? Or the families struggling to feed their children? Maybe casting our nets in new directions means embracing the youth of our community and not just the kids and of parents and grandparents who are members of this church. Or could God be calling us to share our building with other people other than ourselves, or to tear down buildings altogether and put up something useful for the way people live today? Whatever it is, Jesus is telling us that we cannot go back to the way things were before, but rather that there is life to be revealed when we dare to fish from the other side. Resurrection life is not just a promise for us someday when we close our eyes. Resurrection life is here today, even if it means knocking us off our horse or putting on our clothes and jumping out of the boat into the lake. But it also means life for the people we will catch in our nets of inclusion and welcome and partnership. Grief and fear will keep us locked in our own tombs of blindness and self-doubt. But by listening to the voice of that one who stands on the seashore and calls out to us in the light of a new day, the voice that beckons us to look to the other side of the boat, we'll see just how the world will be transformed by this living, risen Savior. Thanks be to God.